Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations. Ante Up, it's your poker magazine.
From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's August 21st, 2020. You listen to the greatest PokerCast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
What's new, buddy?
Well, COVID broke me, finally. I actually got to a point where I caught up on stuff that I thought I was caught up on. You know, I'm like, you know what? I haven't played poker in a while. So I went and downloaded the PokerStars home game software. I guess I had it at one point, but I don't know where it's on my computer, right?
All right.
So I re-downloaded it. And then the big test was to remember my password. And the second try, I got it. So I didn't have to do the lost password. So that was pretty cool. So... and then I just played a couple play money sit and goes just to feel somewhat normal, right?
Yep.
And so a couple things about it that I thought were fun. One, I'm like, I can't even remember the last time I played a hand of poker. I mean, it's the COVID has been just so difficult because normally it's when we're on our cruises or at our tour events, and we haven't had any of those for a long time. So
yeah,
so I hadn't played any. And then online, boy, that's been years. It's literally been years since I played a hand of poker online too. So. So it felt good. It felt good to get back in the saddle. And then I'm like, all right, I was going to get all ready to join up Apes. And the next thing I know, I get the Ante Up fans notification from last night's results. I'm like, darn it, I missed it again. Got to find a way to schedule this on my calendar.
Yeah, really.
A couple things I thought were interesting. One, I played two sit and goes. I played turbo sit and goes. I played one stud high low and one limit Omaha 8. Bubbled both, so I still suck. Any question about that, but you know, so you get your older, your 15,000 chips, as you say every week on the show, because we have nothing else to talk about. all the sit and goes were like 20K.
Oh, I know.
So I'm like, well, this kind of sucks. I'm like, I just signed on to, like, you know, escape for an hour.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So now do I got to go to a cash game table and grind out 5K just to get in a sit and go? So I'm like, and then I noticed they had little buy chips thing. So I'm like, all right, I'll kick the tires on this, right? So I clicked on that. And for $2.99, I got 500,000 chips. And I'm like, all right, make that happen. That seems like a whole lot easier than grinding out 5,000 to struggle and keep doing that all day. So I threw my richness around out there for all you poor folks out there that don't have $2.99 to buy your way into these tournaments. But... so now I apparently, and then of course every time I log on now, I logged on yesterday and there wasn't a tournament going, but bing, click, get my 15K. So I feel like I'm playing one of those apps on my phone where I have to, unlock a lock to get my 20,000 points.
Yeah.
So, but it felt good. Felt good to play.
I can't believe you forked over $3 for 5,000 chips. All you needed to win was 5,000 chips and you could have played.
Hashtag fake news. $2.99.
I can't believe you spent $3, man. Unbelievable. I mean, seriously, I mean, we don't know where our next paycheck's coming from, and you're wasting $3 on play money.
Oh, I waste $3 on a lot worse things, sir.
What I liked about the software and stuff was how much stuff has changed since we were taking it seriously.
People are like throwing dodgeballs at each other and fireworks and
crap. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. And they have all these different platforms too, or disciplines or whatever, where it's like you can choose to play a four-handed sit and go turbo, or you know, it's like all these weird varieties of things, and it's almost like video game-ish, you know, which we'll actually talk about in a little while later on in the show. it makes it enjoyable. I think the last time I played I had 15,000 chips and I turned it into like I don't know, 300,000 in an hour. So that's why I was just so surprised that you weren't willing to just sit down and get it all in.
Cash games?
Yeah, the cash games. They have the Zoom.
Quote-unquote cash games.
Yeah, they have the Zoom cash games, too. So you can just sit there and pick a hand and get it in, and somebody's going to call you, and you're going to double your money in a second. But I'm not trying to make you feel bad about that, you know. Well, I'm glad you're back on. Maybe you'll start playing in the Pape stuff every once in a while.
Definitely going to try, folks. So
if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll explain Papes later. So,
all right, NTF Ambassador Chad Holloway, writing for Poker News, put together a great look back at the now-completed WSOP.com portion of the World Series of Poker Online Series, which, of course, is continuing in Europe on the GG Poker platform. But here are some of the stats from the U.S. version of it. The 31 events drew 44,179 entries and $26,871,065 in prize money. No one won more than one bracelet, but two players both had a championship and a runner-up. Five previous bracelet winners won new hardware this year. Ryan LaPlante didn't make a final table, but cashed more than anyone else 17 times, which is more than half of the events, right?
Wow.
Former world champ Joe McKeon was the money leader with $369,632 won, and Ian Steinman, who cashed 15 times, earned the most leaderboard points and earned $18,000 of the $100,000 in leaderboard prize pool money.
Yeah, this is it's impressive. I think it's impressive, these numbers and these stats and these facts and stuff. I think it's impressive. I do know it's a serious, you know, drop in what should have happened at the Real World Series this year, but the fact that it happened at all and that this happened with the extent of the prize money and stuff, it's pretty good, pretty impressive. It's shocking that the money leader was only 369,000. Do you know what I mean? When there's 26 million up for grabs, almost 27 million, but just the way, you know, the buy-in amounts and the way the events broke down, that's just still impressive. It's just it's just shocking when I'm used to the numbers that you read for a World Series finale when it's done.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the numbers is just almost in the billions. It's staggering, and then this is so. But, yeah, I mean, I'm happy that that it was a success after a little bit of a, not a sluggish start, I guess, but sort of a controversial kind of start or whatever. But good stuff. Good stuff here.
So let me ask you this. Is it because we're old? Or is there some other reason that we never got really excited about this online thing? We didn't talk about it on the show as much as we, you know, the real quote-unquote World Series. We would always have an update where we talk about all the different events and who won them and interesting things like that. And we really didn't do that with this, right? We had the one guy that wanted, you know, playing on his computer in the Whole Foods parking lot, which was pretty cool. But that's really all we talked about until now, right?
Right. Well, I don't think it's our age. I think there's a lot of things contributing to the lack of presence on our show. Much of it is that we're so used to getting photos and watching clips and seeing it on television, and then knowing every single person that's sitting at that table or seeing their names as they're sitting. You know, it's hard to get excited about an online series that you're not going to tune in to watch, you know, or even know who's playing. You know, half the people on the site don't even have their real names or, you know, on. So it's just like, hey, you know, Apple Cider 28 is in the lead in this tournament or something. You know, it was just eventually you might find out who they are. But in this case, it still seems a little bit removed than for me. That's why I don't get too excited about it.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, it is obviously different. I mean, there were ways to watch it, and I imagine people that were super excited about this did. So we just happen to be two of the people that obviously were not super excited about it. So, but just curious whether it's just us or whether the entire poker community was a little less enthusiastic about an online version of the World Series this year.
But. Yeah. I think the other thing too is that we can't play in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We could have gone to Vegas or whatever, but I mean, it's just obviously we're not flying, we're not going anywhere, we're not doing anything. So the fact that it's that far removed from us as you know, as Florida residents or whatever, it just was hard to get up for something like that. And I couldn't really watch it on the television, or I know I'm not going to be able to watch it on the television eventually, or it just felt, and it was, of course, it was abbreviated, and the money was essentially less. And so, I don't know. I think you add up all those things together, and but I don't think it's our age. I think it's other factors.
Cool. Good. I like to feel like I'm not old.
You know? Well, I turn 50 in a couple of weeks, so.
Sure we are old, but yes.
I'm old.
All right, a new report from the American Gaming Association said online gaming operators showed $402 million in revenues in the COVID-dominant second quarter, nearly triple what they earned the year prior. Meanwhile, brick-and-mortar casinos, which were largely shuttered through the second quarter, saw revenues plunge 80% in that quarter.
Yeah.
Of course, this is America, folks, not worldwide.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the, you know, water is wet segment of the show. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious that that was going to happen. You know, and the other thing too is I don't really understand numbers that well when it comes to, you know, their revenues plunged 80%, but what are their losses? You know what I mean? Like, did they lose 80%? You know.
Well, yeah. So that's the other side of the coin, right?
Right.
What is the actual effect on both the online operators? We saw a lot of revenue, and what was the actual effect on the brick and mortar that saw almost no revenue? Because that's the business aspect of it. But, you know, so it said nearly triple what they earned the year before, and then brick and mortar down 80%. So largely in the same neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
So essentially what I took away from it is people didn't slow down gaming during COVID. They just shifted it to where they could play, right?
Exactly.
So, which is kind of the argument we've always made that, from folks that want to, you know, shut down gambling, or, you know, is that people are going to find a way to play.
Yep. Which is what, when we first started the business, not to interrupt, but when we first started the business back in the day, people were like, it's the worst economy. It's the Great Recession. It's the worst economy since the Depression. How can you start a publication and a media empire and all that? And we said, well, the one thing that we learned in our research was that no matter how bad the economy is, people always find money for their vices and gambling or playing poker or even their hobbies. That was something that would not suffer from, and that this perfectly shows it, I think, that, okay, you couldn't go. The only reason why they didn't gamble in a brick and mortar was because you couldn't go to the brick and mortar. They were shuttered.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have, you know. And so when they found another outlet, they used that instead, and that was the online book. So, yeah, that proves our point, which is why we were successful in starting the company in the first place, I think.
Yeah, so this is very, very interesting that one more element of proof that, you know, you need to, if you're a government, people are going to gamble one way or the other. So either you give them a place that they can do it safely and or you can regulate it and tax it, or you can just look the other way and they're still going to do it.
So. Yeah. I agree.
I'm telling folks not to do nothing. Not going to stop. All right. Azerion, a Dutch media company, has launched a new poker mobile app available in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. That is a free-to-play Texas Hold'em app where players can earn Monopoly-inspired bonuses by playing.
Did you watch the video, the trailer for it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's I mean, it's like a little kid's game almost. It's like a cartoon almost. Yeah, I was watching the whole thing, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of the little fireworks and things on Poker Star. You know what I mean? It was all animated, and I wonder what's their target audience for this with this app? Like, is it little kids to learn how to play poker, or I mean, it was just weird.
I don't know if it's little kids. I think it's adults that are nostalgic about Monopoly and want to play Texas. It's not obviously not going to be serious Texas Hold'em players. I don't think, right?
But right.
The folks that want to play, again, like me, like downloading the word game. I would rather play a word game if I'm going to download for free than Texas Hold'em. But whatever. There's other people out there that you know, haven't devoted 15 years of their life to this poker that might be more interested in. And playing a silly Texas Hold'em, and then you know, it's these bonuses things that you try to hit. This is why slot machines are so popular, right? It's not that people are excited about matching three cherries. It's they want to get to that bonus thing and you know, spin the wheel of fortune or you know whatever the other you know things are now. So
they want to get to Boardwalk and collect cards and all that. That was on. There was like collect cards and do not pass go. And I it was hard to know from the video or whatever, from the news release, how exactly this is incorporated into the actual game. I guess if you win pots or you win tournaments or you make certain hands, you'll be able to acquire these levels and bonuses and stuff in the background. But again, if it's just free to play, I don't know the point of it. But I mean, there are other games out there that are free to play where you're just playing to notch cumulative coins or something. I don't know, whatever. But
well, I can imagine it's like the PokerStars home games or these other games. I'm saying that, yeah, you can win these bonuses, but you could also probably pay for them, right? That's how you make the money off.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of the advertising, so, but I, you know, when I watched the video, I'm glad they had a video because the press release was horrible.
I know it's horrible. I couldn't. That's why I watched the video. I couldn't understand what the hell was
going
to happen.
Didn't understand what was going on, right? But so I'm like, oh, at least they put a video. But even the video, I couldn't. I mean, it was fun to watch, but I couldn't really understand. It sounded like you're just playing Texas Hold'em, and as you mentioned, maybe you win a tournament or hit a hand, and then all of a sudden you get Boardwalk or something,
yeah,
or Chance Card, or I don't know. I was intrigued when I saw the article. I'm like, all right, this might be cool if we're playing poker and Monopoly at the same time. That might be something that would get me interested. But it looked like I'm just playing Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
Collecting a thimble or whatever and trying to get somewhere, and that doesn't excite me personally.
No, like you get caught bluffing and they send you directly to jail, do not pass code, do not collect 200 chips, you know, or something. I don't know. It's interesting that way, but the other thing I wanted
to get out or roll doubles.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get pocket pair to get out of jail. But the question I had for you was, do you think they have an end game with this? Like, we were always speculating that Zynga Poker, which had millions of people, was just waiting for online poker to be regulated through the government so they could then launch their own for money site, and then it never happened. And Zynga Poker, you hardly ever hear about it. It's still around, obviously, but you hardly ever hear about it. I just wondered if you thought, hey, Monopoly and Hasbro are trying to get into the money game, you know?
I'm sure. I would be surprised if this Azerian company didn't market or pay a royalty fee to Hasbro.
Right, they did.
These are names. So I don't know if Hasbro has any ownership in this at all. I think they probably just got paid the marketing fee. So now whether this Azerian company has eyes on becoming a online company, I don't know. I mean, it's based in the Netherlands. I'm not sure what the online poker availability is there. Versus other places in Europe where it's permitted. So, maybe it's just, you know, hey, again, if I could come up with a great app idea right now, I would do it. Not just because we're broke, but it's just the way to go, right? I'm like, you know, even if you have an app that's only popular for like 6 months, like this house party app that we all used to talk to our friends during COVID for a while, and now that we can go back out, no one's in the house party anymore, right?
Right.
So at least for 4 or 5 months, it was the app, right? So if you have an app that you were the app for 4 or 5 months, that's good enough for me, I would think. So, you know, I imagine these folks that are capable of developing these things, if, you know, again, it's an easier sell to get somebody to download an app when you say Texas Hold'em, because most people know what that is now. Right. And
right.
Might play it. And now you just made it a little bit more exciting by, again, tapping into their childhood memories of Monopoly. So, you know, maybe there's not an end game. Maybe it's just, we're going to get in and get you to buy some community chess cards and show you a couple ads and make enough money until you get bored. And then we'll make you download Texas Hold'em Connect 4. That's right. So I don't know. I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, once I figured out that I can get people to download Texas Hold'em apps, I would just keep getting names in there. Hey, Stratego version. All right, I'm in.
Interesting side fact here for trivia fans. That is not the first time Scott has referenced Connect 4 on the show. And nor will it probably be the last.
It's a damn good game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sneaky, sis.
That commercial, oh man, I can't believe you.
All right, here's this week's update on casinos and poker room reopenings, reclosings. In Mississippi, Pearl River Resort has reopened its poker room. In Maryland, Hollywood Casino Perryville has reopened its poker room. And in California, Chumash Casino Resort has reopened its poker room. AntiUpMagazine.com/reopen lists verified details on casino and poker room reopenings and closings. If you have any updates, email us at editor@AntiUpMagazine.com. And you guys are emailing us. Thank you. And we are also emailing you a weekly e-blast with updates that you can subscribe to on the homepage at AntiUpMagazine.com.
You need an editor, buddy. You need to have somebody edit your stuff for you.
Yeah, I agree.
Got to really condense that little nut graph there you had. Is that repeating information? Over?
Apparently, I split my infinitives. That's one of my multiple things. And I've noticed that when I go back and read my Facebook post, I'm like, yep, split that damn infinitive again. God darn it.
To boldly go or no editor. Annie updates. Papes, the Annie Up fans free online tournament series on PokerStars Play Money site, is available everywhere. Details on how you can join can be found at bit.ly/PAIPS. Games are on the 6th, 16th, and 26th of every month and rotate disciplines with a main tournament followed by a second chance event. PokerStars lets you claim 15,000 free chips every 4 hours, or you could pay $2.99 for 500,000 chips, as Scott did.
500,000 folks.
Join the Annie Up Fans group Facebook page. Post within the group to get feedback on hands, ask call the floor questions, or just discuss anything poker. Check out our 11 vintage Annie Up logo designs on merchandise at annieupmagazine.com/shop to buy t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, phone and laptop cases, coffee and drink mugs, and much more with your choice of Annie Up Magazine, Annie Up PokerCast, or Annie Up Tour logos. If you have a hand of the week, listener spotlight, or call the floor submission, email us at podcast@annieupmagazine.com or post in the Annie Up Fans group on Facebook. We have a new O'Malley's move today. Very exciting. Here it comes.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. This week we are playing $2, $5 No Limit Hold'em at our regular casino. We bought in for $500 and currently sit with around $700. The game has a few more wrecks than usual, but they are all pretty timid and don't often step out of line. However, they do like to semi-bluff on occasion. The blinds post, there's an under-the-gun straddle to $10. We get one caller in an MP, and it's to us in the cutoff with the king of hearts, king of clubs. This is a great hand to pick up in late position in a straddled pot. I'd like to get heads up here, and hopefully the straddler is in the mood to step out of line. We make it $75 to go, accounting for the limper and straddler plus a little extra. The small blind calls, which is rather surprising. He bought in for $500 and doubled up within the first 10 minutes of play. He's a rec player, and since doubling up has hovered consistently between $1,000 and $1,200. He currently has $1,100. Everybody else folds, and with around $170 in the pot, the flop is the queen of clubs, eight of diamonds, deuce of spades. This is a decent flop for our hand, and we are planning to either bet or raise no matter what our opponent does. Our opponent checks, and we make it $80 to go. I thought about betting between $100 and $150, but I'd like to get a lesser hand to call, perhaps something like Queen-10, Queen-Jack, or an 8. Our opponent does not disappoint and makes the call. There's roughly $330 in the pot, and the turn is the Ace of Diamonds. Okay, not a great card. And what makes it even less great is our opponent leads into us for $225. So, we've got hit with an overcard to our pocket pair. If we're wrong here, we've blown our profits and we might have to call a bet on the river, most likely a shove. What's the move?
It's time for the AdvancedPokerTraining.com Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations podcast at AnteeUpMagazine.com. If you haven't won something from us in the past year, you get a free membership to Advanced Poker Training, the world's number one poker training site. Steven Johnson in the house today, Chris.
All right.
All right. He also says he's a great fan of the show, not just a good fan, great fan. Great so let's fan. Be nice to him.
All right.
This was a recent hand played on PokerStars, a PokerStars 2-5 Zoom game. So again, the Zoom is when you fold and you're transported
instantly
through a wormhole to a completely different table, correct?
Right.
I kind of like the concept. Now that I'm back on the home games, I might try to Zoom just to see it, because I never really got a chance to play it too much when that first came out. But what you like about it is you don't have to get reads on players, right? Because you're going to get moved to another table anyhow. So,
right.
So a lot of strategy I could talk about on that, but we'll see if we have to talk about it. So.
And we have to be careful when we use the word Zoom these days, because it could be that you're just playing in anything and you have the Zoom app open and you're talking to each other or whatever.
That's true. Did you see this Rio de Janeiro city council meeting?
No.
Well, one of the councilors forgot to turn his camera off, was having sex in the background.
Oh, no.
Never happened on any of my Zoom calls.
Fingers crossed.
Best thing that happens is like a cat walks by and knocks a cup off. In Brazil, people are having sex on. I don't get it.
Oh, that's Rio for you.
All right. right. So, all right. Let's see. Let's see. There's a middle position player who has $518 in chips. Makes a minimum raise to $10. And then folds to us in the small blind, and we have $1,339, so we have them well covered. And we have the ace of hearts, ace of diamonds.
All right, so we're going to be out of position, and I know we have this great hand, but we're going to be out of position, so I don't like to get too tricky with it. I think we should probably be pretty straightforward with our hand, raise, and then hope for a favorable flop, and then just, try to get as much money out of the hand as possible. I don't like getting tricky where we just call, let them dictate, how much money's in the pot and then how the play is going and then whatever. So I'm probably going to re-raise here. What we say, we meet at 10. So I don't know, maybe $30, $35, something like that. I don't like just calling and trying to be tricky. It's not right.
No. Well, here's one of the strategies of Zoom, I think, too, is, again, you're not trying to set players up for – it's not like a chess, right? We're trying to set up players' moves later on in hands down the road, five or six hands down the road, right?
Right.
Because you're not going to have them anymore. So you just – now you're – it's more mathematical maybe. I don't know if that's the right term, but, I mean, you're just maximizing – you're not playing a person so much as you're playing the odds and the proper strategy and try to milk this hand and win it, and then you get transported to the next table and do it all over again, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really – there's not a big advantage to being tricky, I think, in Zoom. Certainly not as much as in a game where you're going to be playing with folks for a long time.
Right.
Okay, so our hero raises $30 to $40 and is called.
Okay.
All right, our flop is the 10 of clubs, king of clubs, ace of clubs, and we are first to act.
Of course, it's the wettest possible board, giving us the top set. Oh man, this sucks. I guess so. There's probably $80-something in the pot. I'd probably bet $50 to keep the, the guys with one club from. Well, there's only one guy in hand with us, but I'm probably going to bet a little more than half the pot. I mean, I'm probably going to bet about $50, $55, something like that.
Yeah, I think obviously you have to bet here. You got to keep up the aggression you had. You can't be completely scared with the wet board. So you got to bet, right? So it's a matter of how much. This is, again, a good reminder of why it sucks being out of position, right? Because if I'm the opponent here, I think I have to raise, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if I have...
Or even if not raise, at least call with the intention of, with a float, trying to play back, right? So that's where it gets dangerous. So either we're going to bet now, unless the player has no backbone here, he's going to, and folds, then we get no value hand. So that's fine, I guess, right? The alternative is that we get raised, and now we have to figure out whether somebody's guy's putting a move on us or not. In a Zoom game where we have no information, right?
Yeah.
Or he calls trying to float us, and then we either slow down or make a bet on turn, and then he plays back at us at that time. So at some point, either on the flop or turn, we're going to have a decision point here with a made hand that's not the best hand, right?
Yeah.
That's what's difficult here, I think. But all that aside, I think you got a bet here. So just to find out whether the guy is too scared to play back at us. Because at that point, I would rather have that happen than be put to multiple tests. So,
now this guy, he did raise. So, I mean, generally, you're putting somebody on larger cards when they raise. So, you could have this guy, crushed. But at the same time, he could very just as easily have Queen Jack and have you crushed, or a couple of clubs. So, while I'm willing to put some money in, I do have to keep in the back of my mind that other hands are possible that beat us. So let's just not get married to the fact that we have top set when it's not even like the 10th best hand. So,
right.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, our hero bets 52. Mm-hmm. So right about where we thought.
Yeah.
And we are called.
Okay.
So here we go. Now I'm worried about the float, but we'll find out. All right, so the turn is the seven of spades, so our board again is ten of clubs, king of clubs, ace of clubs, seven of spades, and once again we are first to act.
Well, the call could mean so many things. It could mean that they don't believe us and they're floating us. It could mean that they have the case ace and they have ace king, or it could be that they have a flush already. It could be that they have one card to a flush. It can mean so many things. So often, you know, Scott will say, you know, we bet to find where we are and stuff. But in this case, I don't even know if that bet helped us. I mean, we had to do it, but I can't be narrowing this guy's hands too far. I mean, he could have anything at this point. I mean, literally any hand that, you know, could be beating us, you know, or that we could be have crush and he thinks he has us crush, you know. He could have ace king. So I still think we probably need to bet to avoid the whole float issue. If the guy was floating and just trying to steal it from us, now if we bet he's not floating us anymore, he better have a legitimate hand to raise us. So I guess I would, let's see, there's 180, so I'd probably bet 100 now, you know, maybe 100, yeah, about 100 or so, especially since, I mean, I've got this guy covered almost threefold, so he's not going to do too much damage to us, but if we're betting, you know, 50 and then 100 into his $500 stack, you know, he better have it. You know, it'd be one thing if you had $3,000 in front of him and then it's a pittance to him, but in this case,
right.
A decent sized bet means he's not going to have much to bluff us with at the end. So for him to call a raise here, he's got to have something pretty good. So I'm going to bet about 100 and see what happens.
I like the same thing, so we'll see what happens.
All right.
Our hero bets actually 117.
Okay.
And then the opponent min raises another 117 to 234 back to us.
Well, I'm going to have to call because I can still pair the board, and other than a royal, you know what I mean? I'm going to still have outs to win in case he has something like, you know, who knows? He could have, you know, some sort of small flush or something. I mean, or he, you know, the min raise tells me that he's not drawing anymore. He would rather just call and try to make that flush. So either he's already got the flush.
And he's not bluffing, I don't think. I mean, if you're bluffing, you're min raising, right?
Yeah, so if you're bluffing, you're shoving there.
Literally the worst bluffer in the world if you're min raising.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So yeah, we're up against a made hand. It's just a matter of whether ours is better than that or not. It probably isn't, but we have lots of outs. So yeah.
I also think that if he had something like Queen Jack where he just had Broadway and no club in his hand, I think he would have shoved because he wanted to protect against us having the one club that could beat him, like pocket queens with a queen of clubs. So I think that he's probably got something that he's pretty happy with. So it's either he's already got a flush or he's got a set like us, because he raised pre-flop, so he could have king-king or 10-10.
Yeah, fantastic, right?
Right. So that's the thing, is now you have to try to figure out, man, does this guy have the flush or does he have a set smaller than ours? Because I don't think he has the straight. I think he would have shoved or he would have protected that hand either earlier or at least after we bet that 117. So I'm thinking we have three hands, and two of them we have beat, one of them we don't. One of them's a flush. Of course, there's all those combinations of that flush hand, but
right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think I'm not going to go crazy here. I'm going to call and then see how much he bets on the river. Maybe he'll value bet and I could just get away with calling it quickly and then seeing the showdown. But if he shoves, then I really have to think about it and whether or not the set is the lower set is the hand that he has or not. So I think I'm just going to call here. I don't want to get it all in and just realize I'm practically having to hit the fourth ace or, you know, a full boat. So let's just call.
Yeah, I definitely think calling is the way to go because I do feel at this point that we are behind, but there's enough money in this pot that I don't want to give it up, and we have lots of outs to improve, and, you know, there are a couple of things that could happen on the river as well, too, so definitely not going to raise and then have him shove on us here when I'm fairly certain we're behind here. But
okay.
Also, it seems way too weak just to throw this away now with the
top set.
$200 thrown in there with top set, right?
Yeah, and so, a card to come, too. So, yeah.
Okay, our hero listens to us and calls. He did say this. Min raise had me a little worried. I did not feel straight because I felt they would have raised more. Actually, I think if they had straight, they would have raised on the flop to worry about that, too.
Yeah,
so
maybe.
I think that straight, yeah, is probably out. So, honestly, for me, I think it's a smaller flush or some kind of two-pair combination, or, as you mentioned, maybe another set, which is... Those two things are fantastic. It's small flush that I'm worried about.
Yeah.
So our hero says, that leaves, in my mind, a flush, two-pair, or a set. Hey, I just said that.
I know. That's pretty funny.
So I decide the flat call.
Okay.
Okay. The river is the tray of spades, so our final board, ten of clubs, king of clubs, ace of clubs, seven of spades, tray of spades, and, of course, the action is still on us. We did not improve.
No, I think we have to check and hope this guy only bets, like, 100 or so, and then just trying to value bet whatever he has, and then we just call and say, look, we got a set of aces, but we couldn't, you know, they might mock us or something, but say you just couldn't tell, you couldn't, you know, whatever. But if he shoves on us,
because we're going to be transported to another table,
that's right, that's true too. That's true. I forgot.
No embarrassment in Zoom,
that's right. Well, if he shoves, then we're gonna have to, I think we're gonna have to let it go. I don't see how this guy, I mean, he could have been.
What also? I mean, how much money does this guy have left? He started with 518. Now, what I'm confused about is he calls him somebody different. This is an online hand history, and he calls him something different. So maybe this guy has a different
stack.
Yeah. But he initially said 518, so that was 40 on the flop. 117. Oh, I'm sorry. 52 on the flop. So that's what, 92, and then 234 total on the turn. So that's about 330, right?
Yeah.
Which would leave him less than 200 left.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then I've come too far to fold for 200 in a pot. That's big, right?
Yeah, so, I guess so.
There's really nothing he could bet there. I mean, in other words, if he had more money, then if he bet big, that's a, hey, get out of my pot bet, right?
Right.
Usually, unless you're on that second or third level where you're trying to indicate that when you really have a good hand. And a smaller bet is more scary because it's probably that flush trying to get paid off. But we're not going to go away for that small bet because that's why they call it a value bet, right?
So, yeah.
So I don't know. It kind of depends. Now, looking ahead here, the bet we're facing is more than he should have in the stack, so he might have more. So I guess that's a...
Maybe the guy... Would you say at 518, maybe... You said it was a different person he listed?
Yeah.
Oh. So. Okay, I was going to say maybe he had 1,500 and not... You know, he just didn't have the one in there, but... Okay. All right, so we're going to assume the guy has more than 518, so that puts a little bit of a damper on our decision-making here. Because if we thought it was just, hey, he's only out a couple hundred left, then it's like, yeah, okay, I can see myself calling that to win this huge pot with a set of aces. But if it's the guy has 3,000 in front of him still and I can go broke, then I think I can see myself laying it down.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, our hero does check, and the opponent bets 314 Skittles.
Yeah, I just don't see myself calling. I mean, I realize we have top set, and I realize, you know, it's hand of the week, so I'm always slanted a little toward the fold because we're always losing these things. But it just seems like the straight's out of the realm, and the min raise would indicate that he's got a pretty good hand. And yeah, sure, we beat a set of tens or a set of kings, but I wonder if the set of tens or a set of kings would have protected their hand after the flop. You know, if you were looking at three clubs and three Broadway cards and we bet into you, why aren't you raising there with that set to protect it? You know, if that guy has queen, queen with a queen of clubs, you know, you don't want him to see any more cards for that price. You want to raise more. And he didn't, he just calls. So then he's giving us the idea that maybe he's drawing, but when the card comes that doesn't help, he min raises our pretty decent bet. So I think that this guy has the flush. I think he has the flush.
It's screaming flush, doesn't it?
Yeah, it screams flush to me, and I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to be sad, but it doesn't matter because it's Zoom, so no one's going to know I have it anyway, and they're just going to move on. So, you know, I'm gonna fold this, I think.
Yeah, I think it's really really hard to fold here, but it's the right move just because if you do that math, I mean, it just doesn't make sense that this guy has anything else. I mean, I guess this is the downside of Zoom is you don't know. You don't have a history with anybody else, so you don't know whether somebody is how skilled they are and whether they're just being an idiot playing or whether they're playing properly and giving us all the clues. But if they're playing properly, giving us all the clues, this definitely screams flush right now.
Yeah, it really does.
set two pair, any of those other vulnerable hands at any point in this would have put more pressure on us, and certainly wouldn't have min-raised us on the turn, which was a, hey, I want to keep you in, but I want to make some money off you, right?
Yeah.
And then we miffed on the river, so it is what it is. So it's tough, the full top set, but it just seems like we're going to lose. So.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we thought he had 518 changes the dynamic of that min raise for us, because it's he obviously had more money than that. So a min raise there could also be a kind of a poke at you or something. But
right,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So we were basing it off 518, not more than us. But either way, it's still, I agree with you, either way, that min raise means, you know, he's not really worried about protecting his hand right now. He's just trying to get more value for that hand that he's made and do it in a way that we have to call, which now makes you scared. So if a fourth club came on the river, I think he checks behind, unless he has a queen of clubs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if he has something small, like 8-9 of clubs or something, then I think that, you know. But in this case, I think if a fourth club fell and he had baby clubs here, he would have checked the end. Since he didn't.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about what we were hoping to hit here. I mean, obviously, bingo, Ricky Tiki Tavi would have been the other case ace, right?
Right.
If not that, pairing the board, so we have a boat now, that would be fantastic. Absent of that, the next best thing would be another club.
Right.
So we can at least see showdown and see whether we are right.
Right.
But unfortunately, we didn't get that, and now we're facing this bet, and hey, we got to lay it down. Right?
Yeah, I'm laying it down.
All right, Hero says, I elect just to call because there's so many combos out there that beat me, and our opponent shows the 7 of clubs, 6 of clubs.
Oh, yeah.
And wins the $1,229 pot.
Well, the hard part about that is putting a guy who is in middle position on 7-6 of clubs when he's raising.
Six. Yes.
Right? I mean, how do you put somebody on 7-6 raising there? And so then you're playing the player instead of the... But at this point, a middle position player raising there could have easily seen a re-raise from someone who literally plays the game the way... When you want to play the player and not the cards, you're in position to do that. You're not doing it from the small blind or the big blind. You're doing it from the cutoff or the hijack or even the button. So in this case, this guy really, really threw you off by being a middle position player and then raising with a 7-6 of clubs. But now when you insert the hand back into his play, kind of makes sense. You know, he raised, he called our raise, flopped the world, and then just walked us for one street, and then the next street min raised us. You know, it's interesting that he didn't choose to bet a little bit more, because, you know, any club could have ruined his hand, and it didn't. But to me, I think you come alive at the turn a little more than just min raising. But that's just
That's an interesting point. I mean, at that point, he would have to put us on something like we not something as strong as we had, but something without a club in our hand, where he wasn't fearful of that fourth club coming, right? Otherwise, you're right. I mean, you would try to squeeze a little bit more value out on the turn there, just in case that last club came and you were forced to check behind on the river. So, but he did seem to play this hand face up, though, didn't he? I mean, I think we both figured that flush right away. And then the 7-6 is a little odd to raise with, but again, I don't know what the if this was six-handed. If it's six-handed, it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah,
And again, but I've also told people when newer players, when they're trying to, you know, learn to, you know, not play ABC, that these are the pseudo connectors are the hands that you raise with.
Right, right.
Different positions, because they're a little bit more forgiving, as it was proven here, right? So I don't think you can immediately discount that. I think the rest of our discussion, though, it seemed like he had that flush going around. So even take away what he would have raised with pre-flop, we have to factor in what seems likely now. And then when you think about that, there are players that are going to raise with suited connectors, small suited connectors pre-flop. So the hand just, it sounded like a flush.
So if we go back to our friend, Steven, I think that we didn't misplay this hand until, I mean, you can say maybe you want to protect your hand on that turn. So after you bet 117, he min raises you. You could have shoved there, but he would have called probably. And so at that point, I think you probably lost the minimum until the river. I think the river was the only real, hey, you probably could have searched a little harder into the story. Now it is Zoom, So it's a fairly fast-paced thing, I think. So
yeah.
That's probably the only thing that I think you could have gotten away from a little better was folding the 314 at the end. I didn't have much trouble putting them on a flush here, and neither did Scott. Now, I know they say the odds of flopping a flush, you know, you have to really categorize that as monsters under the bed sometimes. But in this case, the guy was telling you with his betting. He was telling you that, you know, I'm happy to just call you on the flop. I'm happy to min-raise you on the turn. I'm happy to value bet a large value bet on the river. Didn't dissuade him at all when he saw the rest of those cards. They didn't hurt him at all. And so he's hoping that you have ace-ace or suited ace-king there, because he knows you can't make a flush and you have to hit a paired board to win, beat him. So I think he put you on that one of those specific hands and milked you for everything at the end. And I would have, if I had to say there was one thing that you could have improved on in this hand, was probably just to fold the river and put him on that hand.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened on the turn had we checked. I'm not suggesting we should have,
right.
But had we checked there, our opponent has to bet, right? I don't think they're going to give us a card to beat us, particularly with his hand, right?
Right.
So, but does he bet 234 there, or does he bet something less?
Yeah, he probably bets our 117.
Probably bets the 117, right?
We call, and then he bets maybe 200 on the river, and it's a little more palatable.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that's another tack that you could have taken. But well, so now I'm wondering if it was real money or if it was play money. But I'm assuming the 2-5, you said 2-5, so that's real money probably.
I assume it's a real money.
Yeah, because the regular games are like 100, 200 fake chips, stuff for 25, 50.
15,000 free chips every 4 hours, 500,000 for 299.
Well, Steven, sorry about that, but hey, you got on our show, and you got a free membership to Advanced Poker Training, so that's equal trade, I think. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Lark.
We'll see you at the tables.
Ante Up is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@anteupmagazine.com. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@anteupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.